We'll catch up. All right. You're listening to Amun V'Chazar with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Beis. It's actually a double feature, so we're doing Kuf Beis Amud Aleph and Kuf Beis Amud Beis to catch us up from Pesach, last days. Okay. So hope you guys had a beautiful Yom Tov. And now Yirtz Hashem, as we're in time of Sfira, the Chizuk in our consistency, day by day, doing a little bit more, and Yirtz Hashem covering great strides in Torah. Ms. Nissen, the last Mishnah and the last Amud, this actually would be a perfect Amud, right? Begins and ends, perfect beginning and end point, and it's the last Mishnah in Perek HaZorik, and the last Amud in Perek HaZorik, 10th Perek. So, Basis, learn from the Mishnah, Hazorik Vinizkar. So, somebody who throws something, presumably, you know, out of the, in a situation where that throwing would be, you know, from one Rishus to another, or for Dalit, or for Amos in Rishus Rabin, Vinizkar, and then he is mindful of it. He realizes, Rashi clarifies, that Hazorik is Bishogig, Vinizkar Shuhu Shabbos, and he remembers that it's Shabbos. So it started off Bishogig, and then, oh my gosh, he is aware. Me'achar Shiatzasa Miyado, after it leaves his hand, right? So you can imagine that slow motion, like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? You see it flying in the air. He threw it Bishogig, and now it's there's an awareness. Kolta Acher, Kolta Kalev, somebody else catches it then, or a dog catches it in its mouth, eats it, presumably, or catches it. Oshinistrafa, or it gets burnt up. There's a fire at the other end, and it gets burnt up. Putter. This guy is putter. And we'll have to see why. Rashi says, so it seems that what we're saying is that after he remembered, it gets caught up. It gets caught by something else, and havilahu shnaim shasuhu, and it's like, you know, two people who did the same action we learned about already, right? That someone he does the akira and somebody else does the hanacha, or the dog does hanacha, so he wouldn't be doing the full action. And that's why he would be putter, seemingly. We'll see that it gets a little bit complicated though. Another case, zarak lasos chabura. Right, he throws a rock at somebody to make a wound. He tries to wound bein ba'adam, bein ba'behema, whether it's a person or an animal. Veniskar, right? So he throws it, and oh my gosh, what did I just do? Ad shelo nasis chabura, doesn't make the chabura yet. So he throws the rock, and says, oh my goodness, it's Shabbos, right? And now this is presumably within one amma away, because we're not talking about the issue of hotza right now, of zrika. We're talking about of chabura, making a wound. So that is a, so this malacha, so putter, he would be putter in this situation, right? Seemingly because of this awareness. Zeha klal, this is the klal. Kol chayve chataos, einon chayven achitet chilasan v'sofan shkaga. So when it comes to being chayve chataos, when you do malacha b'shogeg, there needs to be shogeg at the beginning and shogeg at the end. Chilasan shkaga v'sofan zodon, chilasan zodon v'sofan shkaga, paturin. If it started off with a maze, with a shogig, but ended with a maze, or vice versa, they're potter from ringing a chatas. The beginning and the end need to be b'shkaga. In order for someone to have this shogig, seemingly needs to be totally shogig, not the beginning nor the end can have any awareness of what he's doing in order for him to be chayav chatas. That's just to clarify a point. Being chayav chatas is a good thing, right? You know, we kind of think like, I don't like, that doesn't sound good. But you, when you bring a chatas, you achieve a kapara. Somebody does a malacha b'mezid, even if there's no hasra, right? So Beis Din can't kill him, but now he has a very grave isser over his head. Chatas is a special deal that God gives him, that you can achieve a kapara in this world for something as long as it was b'shogeg. Right, and we're not talking about mazid. So over here, in order for it to be a shogeg, it needs to be beginning and end shogeg. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So now let's take a look at the Gemara. Ha, no. So the implication of what we just said is that somebody throws, he forgets that he becomes aware, he throws b'shogeg, he becomes aware of that, and now what happened? It was caught by a person. Mashma, ha'nacha, but let's say there was no one there to catch it. Let's say there was no dog. Let's say there was no fire. It just landed. So the implication of our Mishnah would be that you are chayiv. Ha'nacha, chayiv. Right? That's the implication. The Mishnah seems to say that only if somebody caught it, or a dog caught it, or it got burnt in a fire, would you be putter. Therefore, if it just landed, it'd be chayiv. But hold on. V'halo nizkar. But didn't he become aware of it at this point? So why would he be chayiv? V'tnan, and we learned at the end of the Mishnah, kol chayiv echatos einan chayvin ad shetehei tchilasen v'sofan shkaga. That you need to be shogig at the beginning and the end. So there's basically a contradiction of implications in this Mishnah, because the Mishnah seems to say that if you are zorek and you remember in the interim, you're zorek and you remember in the interim that it's Shabbos, so you're no longer shogig. Now you're mazid, and somebody else catches it, you're putter. But if no one else catches it, you'd be chayiv. But why would I be chayiv if I had an awareness by the end of the situation? So that goes against. So the implication of the resha goes against the klal of the seifa, which is going to be problematic, and we're going to have several attempted resolutions to this problem, and ultimately we're going to have two different amoraim that we're gonna work with, two different understandings, Rava and Rav Ashi. So let's take a look at some of these suggestions that we're going to reject. Omar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Seifa asa'on lilachta umisna. The Seifa is coming to include a case of a lachta and a misna. So lachta and a misna, Rashi says, lachta is an eitz katan shakaful rosho. So it's a piece of wood that's like folded over and on its head. And it's used for chamorim, for donkeys that are nosim dardorim shal yayin, that are carrying these barrels of wine. Shetoch v'noso b'shnei akolim shal dardorim tluyim behen mishnei tzinei chamor mechabrin bo hadardorim shiachzik zeh zeh. So these things on the sides of it, on the sides of the of these donkeys that are carrying barrels of wine. So it's like the lacht is like a I guess a wooden clamp that holds barrels on it. And the misna over here is, Rashi says, it's a chevel, it's a rope. Next Rashi. Chevel, right? So he has a clamp, a wooden clamp of some sort with the rope in his hand. And he throws the clamp and he's still holding the rope. So he has the ability to draw it back, right? When you throw it, you have the ability to draw it back. And that's what Rav Kahana says the Seifa is talking about. It comes to glue lalachta umisna, right? The lachta and the misna. Therefore, what it's saying is that this case, the Seifa says that if you have the ability to pull it back in the middle, right? In the resha, that's something that's, you know, you just throw it and it's gone. So there, you if it would land, you would be chayiv because you already finished the action, right? Unless somebody catches it. But over here, this klal is coming to say that if it's a clamp that you would throw and you pull the rope and you hold it back, so this is something that you're able to do in the middle. So Rashi says over here, the seifa is talking about where you throw this lachta hakashur b'chevel that's tied to this rope, this chevel katan. Kedarko va'oches hachevel biyado. He's holding the rope in his hand. Uchashiniskar, and when he remembers, he has the ability to hold back the throwing of it so that it shouldn't land. Hilcha tchilaso shogeg v'sofo mezid. Therefore, this guy is considered that the sofo is mezid upater. Aval zarak tsuror v'chefetz. But someone who just like throws like a rock or some other object. Kishe shechin niskar in biyado l'akvo kule shogegu. And so this guy, right? If you have a rock and you throw it, if you have an awareness in the middle, oh my goodness, what did I just do? But it's too late. You can't, if you throw it, you can't already bring it back. Therefore, the whole thing is considered shogeg. Vinizkar, and the fact that the Mishnah says Lashon of Nizkar, Diktani Bereshash Minan Rabusa, Da Afal Gav De Nizkar Lo Miftar Mechatas Elim Kein Kol Ta Acher Al Kelev. That, so since that the whole thing is considered a shogeg, so and the only way to be putter, so even if you have an awareness, this is how we're understanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when you throw something, even if you have an awareness of what you did after you threw it, it's too late. The whole thing is considered a shogeg because it's no longer in your hands, literally and figuratively. You don't have the power to do anything about it, even though you had this in awareness. And the only way you'd be putter is if someone else catches it, if a dog saves you, or if a fire saves you, one of these things, otherwise you'd be putter. And the seifa comes to teach me that, but if it's something that's held in your hand in a rope, you throw the clamp, but you have the rope and you can pull it back. So that's a case where you could have where the end could be considered mazed and you'd be putter from machatas. Because if you threw it and now you didn't pull it back and you had the opportunity to, that's called mazed at the end. But just throwing it and then remember, oh my goodness, what did I do? That's not considered mazed at the end. That's what this is coming to teach us. So that's what Rav Kahana suggests. Amar Rav Kahana, back to the Gemara, Seifa Asan Lelachta Umisna. So the Gemara says, oh, what? Lachta Umisna Ogdo Bayadohu. But that's considered held in his hand. It's Ogdo Bayado. It's like, I guess, like a Gura, like something that's held in his hand. It's bound in his hand. Meaning, when you throw that, of course it's not considered having thrown something because it's still in your hand. We've mentioned this before, that if you never released it, it's still in your hand, then it's as if you never threw it. You'd be putter for that. So that can't be what our Mishnah is telling us, that, oh, there's a havamin, and you might be chayv. Of course you wouldn't be chayv if it's a lachta b'misna. That's not considered throwing anything. So rather, a new explanation. Rather, kigon shiniskavin lasos chabura. No. We're talking about when he intended to make a chabura on somebody, right? We're back to the case of the clamp and the thing and the rope. So you throw the clamp and you're holding onto the rope, and what was your intention? You wanted to hit somebody, right? With the clamp. You're a nice guy. You want to hit somebody with the clamp, and you have the ability to pull it back now. So when it comes to making a chabura, we don't care at all that, you know, oh, wait, but it's still in your hand. That's not the point. The point is, because over here, we're not talking about transferring. We're just talking about whatever you do to hit somebody. So what did he do over here? He threw it, and then he had the ability to pull it back, and he didn't. And there's an awareness, right? So he threw it. He threw the clamp because he wants to hit the person. And it's on the rope, and he's holding onto the rope. And before it hits the person, he's like, oh my goodness, it's Shabbos. But I'm still not going to pull it back anyway. And then it hits him. So that starts off b'shogeg, ends b'mezid. And that's what the klal is. That's what the klal is talking about. So it is a case of the clamp, but it's talking about when making a chabura, not about carrying or throwing. So what you might have been thinking, really, but the Gemara says, honami tanina, hazorik lasos chabura, bein ba'adam, bein behema. But that was what the Mishnah said. That was the case of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah told us about the case of a chabura. And it doesn't come to say Zeha Klal, and this is the general rule, and teach me the same exact thing that we just learned. Zeha Klal always comes to include something new. So, right, we already learned that. That can't be what it's coming to teach us. So, right, Hanami Tanina, Hazor Klasis Chabura, Bein Ba'adim Bein Mehema, Viniskar Achalo Nasis Chabura, Potter. Okay, so no. Ela Amar Ravana, rather Ravana says this is what it's talking about. What does Zeha Klal come to include? Bim Ma'avir. It's talking about somebody who is walking it, right? Meaning he's walking and carrying an object. So that's what it's coming to include. So let's say Ma'avir Dalad Amos Rishus Arabim, right? So if somebody walks two steps in Rishus Arabim holding something, and oh, Bishoge, oh my goodness, what did I do? I forgot, it's Shabbos. Okay, I'm going to keep going. And then he does the next two. So this is a case where Tchilas and Bishoge, Sofan B'mezid, and he would therefore be putter from Chatas. So that's what the Zeha Klal is coming to teach us, says Rava. That's the Zeha Klal, right? This concept is coming to teach us this law. So the Gemara responds, no, that's probably not the case, because Vaha Zeha Klal Diktani Azrika Katani. But that's totally out of context. This Mishnah is clearly talking about zrika. It's about throwing things. So it doesn't make sense that we're talking about, you know, we have a case of throwing this, and he realized in the middle and landed there, and then he tried to strike somebody by throwing something, and then we say this is the general rule, and that's coming to teach us something about mavir bereshus haravim dal amos. That doesn't make sense. We would expect it to be speaking about zrika. That would be the context. So you need to Zach Klal needs to teach me a case that we don't already know from the Mishnah. But it has to be something that has to do with throwing. So Ella Omar Rava, rather Rava says Tarti Katani. We read the Mishnah wrong the whole time. We're gonna have to take another look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about two different concepts. Hazorek v'nizkar ma'achar she'atzasam yado. Case number one: somebody who throws something and then forget, and then he b'shogeg, and then he becomes aware after it left his hands. And the halacha is, he's potter over there, right? Actually, hold on. So, and an inami, or another case, lo nizkar, not a case of nizkar, I mean, not that we became aware, the kolta acher, or kolta kelev, or shenisrafa, potter. Right, so there's two different cases. Like going back to that the Mishnah, just taking a look at the top, seeing what it says. It says Hazorik v'nizkar me'achar she'atzasam yado, somebody who throws and then forgets in the middle of what's happening, and then that's the end of the first case. Don't think that. And then what happened? It was caught by somebody else. No, it landed. It landed. Right, you threw it. Oh my goodness, what did I do? Lands on the ground. Case number one. Case number two. I threw it. And let's say it was intentional. I threw it and it's intentional. And it doesn't land. Someone else grabs it. Someone catches it. Someone else does the hanacha. Or a dog catches it. Or a fire burns it. In both of these cases, or all four of these cases, however you want to say it, let's call it two cases. In both of these cases, putter. For different reasons. The first, right, this one, because you didn't do the full malacha yourself. And in the first case, Azorik v'nizkar, because the beginning was shogeg and then it was mazid. Don't think it's one case. This is two different cases. And then what's the seifa, right? Shenisrafa potter. And therefore, the klal is telling us, is explaining the reason for the first situation. Right, of why that would be the halacha. I just want to see Rashi over here. Yeah, so Rashi says, El Amar Rav, it's already like more than halfway down in the Rashi. Resha mili mili katani la. The vitarti katani. The Resha is teaching us two things. Hazorik v'nizkar, v'inami lo nizkar, and also another case. He wasn't niskar. The kolta acher v'chule v'hadar tani klala le'asuye mavir, and then the klal comes to teach me mavir as well. So we're really not talking about the same types of cases. We're talking about different principles. We're talking about one type of zrika in the case of he starts chilas and shogeg, and then sofa b'mezid, and then it gets into a different type of case where you didn't do the full malach on your own, and then it goes back to tell us the klal for the first thing, and then includes mavir. So that's how Rava explains this Mishnah. And what comes out of this is that even if you threw it, and then it lands, if you had this awareness in the middle, even though if you couldn't stop it, you're still going to be chayev. Okay, let's go take a look at Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Chasuri Mechsara V'Hachi Kitani. No, there's actually a clause missing from the Mishnah, or it says, if it's missing from the Mishnah, this is how you're supposed to learn the Mishnah. Hazorik V'Nizkar Me'achar She'atzas Amiyado Kolta Acher Kolta Kelev Oshinisrva Pater. So, right, he reads it as one case, that this guy threw it, he had an awareness after it was thrown, and then something else gets involved. He's potter, hanacha, but if it would have landed on its own, chayiv, he'd be chayiv. So, b'men dvarim amurim, so in what situation are we talking about? Shechazar v'shachach. He's chayiv if he went back and then he forgot. Meaning, he threw b'shogeg, mid-air, oh my goodness, as soon as it leaves, oh my goodness, what did I do? And as it's landing, he forgets again that it's, he forgets again what happened. So, oh, now it's Shogig again. So it started Shogig, then it was Mazed for a split second, and then it was Shogig again. Aval lo chazer v'shachach, putter. But if he did not forget again, then he's putter. Right? Because shekol chay v'chatos, einon chay v'n atshi tehe tchilasan v'sofan shkaga. So what Rav Ashi is saying is that Even if there was a break of mazid in the middle, but as long as the tchila and the sof were shogeg, even if there's a mazid in the middle, you would still be chayav achatas. But that break in the middle is what's missing. That break in the middle. But so what our mission, basically he reads our Mishnah as, you know, not having a, it, he, there's a qualification left out of this Mishnah. This Bamed Dvarim Amurim really should have been mentioned in the Mishnah to differentiate that, this case, it says he's putter, but why is he putter? Because it began Beshogig and ended Bemazid. But it would be Chayiv if it began Beshogig and ended Bemazid. Sorry, it began Shogig, was Mazid, and then went back to Shogig, then he would be Chayiv in that case. But in the other case, and you'd be chayav in that case, unless a dog or a person or a fire ended up catching it. So that's how he reads the Mishnah. You can take a look at the Mishnah again when you do your Chazara and see the two ways to read the Mishnah. But those are two ways to explain what this klal is doing. Okay. Zeha klal kol chay v'chatas v'chulei. Itmar, it was stated. Shtei amos b'shogeg, shtei amos b'mesed, shtei amos b'shogeg. So let's say somebody he's carrying something, he walks 2 amos b'shogeg, forgot it was Shabbos, he stops 2 amos and, oh my goodness, what did I do? But I really have to get to where I need to get to. So he walks 2 more amos, and then someone distracts him, and then he forgot again that it was Shabbos, and he walks 2 more amos b'shogeg. So what's the halacha in this situation? So Rabba Amar Patur, Rava Amar Chayev. Rabba says he's Patur, Rava says he's Chayev. Now, we're going to see, actually, this is not really a machlokes, that Rabba and Rava, because there's going to be a clarification, they're actually talking about two different cases here. So Rabba Amar Pater, okay, so there's some gears to change over here, I think. So Rabba Amar Pater, Rava Amar Chayev. So Rabba Amar Pater, Afilu L'Rabba Gamliel. The Amar Ein Yedia L'Chatzi Shir. So there's a machlokus that's going to come up. I think we did mention it before, probably around Ayin Aleph, and we're going to see it again in a few blot where that's where its main source is on Kuf Hey. So there's a discussion about if there was an awareness after Chatzi Shir. So does that combine? Right, so let's say I ate half a kazayas of chaylev without awareness. Oh my goodness, what did I just do? I become aware, and then I become distracted again, and I have another half of the kazayas. So is that considered 2 halamos or 1 halam? So Rabbi Gamliel says ein yedia l'chatzi shir. He says no, a yedia that takes place in between 2 chatzi shiurim. Is not considered a yediya, and therefore he combines them to one and says that's considered 1 helam, and you're chayiv. The rabbanon say no, ain yesh yediya b'chatzi shir. He says no, there's a helam in between. It's considered 2 halamos, and therefore you weren't over. So Rab over here is saying that you're putter, and not only are you putter, but even according to Rabbi Gamliel, who says ain yediya b'chatzi shir. Would agree with me, says Rabba, in this case, that Rabba, normally, Rabba Gamliel say that any day l'chatzi shir, and you'd be chayiv. But over here, he would agree with me. Why? Hasahu dechi gamar shiura b'shogeg kagamar. Because over there, in the case of, let's say, eating chaylev, he finished the shir, he completed the shir b'shogeg. Aval hacha d'b'mezid. D'b'mezid, lo. But over here, where he did mezid, it's not the case. Because over here, because over there in the case of Chelev, he ate half a chatzi kazayas, and then he became aware, and then he ate another chatzi kazayas. So he had 2 back-to-back kazesim b'shogeg. Granted, there was a helam in between, but he doesn't hold of a helam in between. But in this case, he did two amos b'shogeg, and then two amos b'mezid, and then two amos b'shogeg. So he completed the full four amos, but half of it was b'shogeg, half of it was b'mezid. So he says, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree with me that, you know, we don't look at the last two amos. We don't care. There was the malacha was completed half b'mezid. So that's not the same as eating two kazesim, both b'shogeg, with a helam in between. So he says, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree with me. Right? And now just to clarify, ubemai, and what are we talking about? Is this a case of where he threw it or where he carried it? Ibezorek shogegu. If it was a case where he threw it and he became aware after it was already thrown, so that would be b'shogeg, because he, right, meaning if we're talking about this two amos, where shogeg, mezid, shogeg, but if he already threw it, if it's already out of his hand and he can't do anything about it anymore, we wouldn't call that shogeg, that's not really a shogeg, mezid, shogeg. It really, the whole thing is b'shogeg, because he can't control it anymore. Ella b'mavir. It must be that Rabba was talking about a case of where he walked it and he had the ability, right, after two amos, and he became aware, he had the ability to not walk anymore, and he b'mezid, took two more amos, walked two more amos, and then forgot, and then walked two more amos. So it must be a case of ma'avir. Now, over here, this is a girsa change, right? It says on the side, Rava. This is Rava. Rava amar chayev. How Rava said in our case, it's chayev. Va'afil l'rabbanon de'amre yesh yediyah l'chatzishir. And even according to the Rabbanan, who say that there is a yediyah by a chatzishir. So the Rabbanan, remember, in our case of where you eat two back-to-back kazesim of chelev, with a yediyah in between, so they say that yediyah indeed separates it, and you'd be potter. Says Rava, but the Rabbanan would agree with me over here that you're chayev. In the case of two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, two amos b'shogeg. Why? Hasam hu dibiyado. Because over there, in the case of the chelev, he has the ability to stop. Aval hacha de'en biyado lo. But over here, since it's already out of his hands, he doesn't have the ability to stop. So it's considered a real shogeg at the end. So even the rabbanon would agree that you're chayev. It's a full shogeg from the beginning to end. Because once this guy had a break in between, a yediyah, so there's a mazid status in between that separates the shogegs. But over here, once it's out of his hands, it's out of his hands. So now, ubemai, what are we talking about? Ibemavir, if we're talking about a case where he's walking it, harabiyado, he has the ability to stop, right? After he took his two amos, he has the ability to stop, and he chose not to. So, and he takes two more steps of mezid. So, the ela bezorek. Rather, he's talking about a case of zorek where he threw it. So, because over here, he says that the Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan, who say in the case of two kazesim of chelev, that he would be, that the helem would interrupt and he'd be potter, but over here they would say he's chayev. Because after two amos of walking b'shogeg, he became aware and he took he threw it two amos b'mezid. So it was no longer b'yado. So it's considered, it would be chayev. So now over here, what comes out is that Rabba and Rav are not really disagreeing. Right, because Rabba said over here he is. Rabba says he's potter, and Rava says he's chayiv. But Rabba was talking about this case is specifically if it was mavir, and Rava says if it was a case of zorek. So they're not really disagreeing. They're saying that if something was two amos b'shogeg, two b'mezid, two b'shogeg, so Rabba says if that's a case of mavir, then he's potter. And even Rabbi Gamliel would agree. And Rabbi says, if that case is a case of Zrika, then he's chayiv. And even the Rabbanan would agree. And they're not really disagreeing. They're just talking about two different cases. So, and that's something that Rashi points out. Okay. New case. Amar Rava. It says rather, but it's also gears to change. Zarak v'nocha b'piya kelev b'piya kivshan chayiv. So Rava teaches that if someone threw something and it lands in the mouth of a dog or the mouth of a kivshan of a furnace, he's chayiv. Chayiv v'ha anan, but we tanan kalta acher o kalta kelev o nisrva potter. We learned in our Mishnah above that if somebody that if in one of these cases, if the dog or the fire catch it, then it's potter. Hasam did kilom chavein. No, over there in the Mishnah, that's where he just was throwing it, and then the fire came out of nowhere, or the dog came out of nowhere and caught it. Hacha de kamechavein. But here, it's a case where this teaching of Rava is where he had intention to throw it there, and what it's saying is, just to keep it brief, because we're about at the halfway point and not quite at the bottom of the Amud yet. So he's basically saying that his kavana. Create, even though it's not a space of 4x4 tvachim, that's considered a proper place for a hanacha, but still, because he was intending to throw it into the fire or into the mouth of the dog, so that was his intention, so it creates a chashivas. That something he could do can create a chashivas, and therefore he would be chayev for this. So, but our Mishnah is where he didn't intend that, so on its own, a dog getting it or a fire getting it, it wouldn't be considered proper hanacha. Umar of Bibi Bar Abaye, af ananami tanina. We also learned in a Mishnah such a case where someone has an intention that can create a new status or something. Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayv aleha dalat chatos v'asim echad. There's a time where you can eat something, you can eat one kezias of something, and you're going to be chayv four chatos and one asham. Wow. So this, you hit the jackpot on this one. Five korbanos for the price of one. Hatame sha'achal chaylev v'hu nosar min ha-mukdashin b'yam ha-kippurim. So someone who is tame, who eats chaylev, that's leftover from a korban, that's hektish on Yom Kippur. Right? So this guy really doing something wrong. So he's tame, so he's eating kudshim when he's tame. And these are it's actually a chaylev, so it's part fat, part that you're not allowed to eat anyway. And it's nosar, it was left over from a korban, and it's Yom Kippur. So you, over here, and Rashi adds, asham ilos, that also, because this is hektish, so you have to bring an asham as well, for the me'ila that you violated, because it's hektish. So you really did a lot of things wrong here. Remeir omer, avim hayas ha-shabbis, v'hotziya b'viv. And Robert says, I'll throw in one more. If it's Shabbos and he's walking around with it, so he's also chayiv because it's in his mouth. Amrulo, they responded to him, Eino min hashem. It's not the same thing, right? What Rashi elaborates that you're talking about an isur for hotza. We're giving a case where there's these five isurim of achila. And you're giving me a case of like Derech Agav, he's doing Hotza. So that's why they disagreed with Remeir. They didn't include his point. Remeir added one, they didn't like that. We have other instances in the Mishnayos where they list, you know, a bunch of Surim done in one shot, and then some people try to add, and they say, no, that's not included. So this is what Remeir said. But anyway, the point is that the Havamina that Remeir had, not the Havamina, the Halacha that he mentioned. So we say, Va'amai, why would that be? We've learned that it's not the normal way to carry food in your mouth. That's not a normal form of hotza. That since he had intention, he was machavin his machshava to be machshiv this thing, his mouth, and consider it a chashiv space to carry through the fact that he was eating and carrying in his mouth while walking. So hachanami came into kamachav and machshav to mishavi leimakom. So too, if he's machshiv the furnace or the mouth of a dog by throwing it specifically there, playing a game of fetch. So he's even though it's less than 4x4 tvachim, it's as if it's 4x4 tvachim, just like the food that's in the person's mouth. Hadron alach hazorik. Mazel tov finishing hazorik, turning over to kuf beis amud beis and the 12th perek. Halfway through the Masechta through Prakim, over two-thirds by Daf, Medapim, and we are in Habone. Habone, comma, right, so we mentioned on Ayin Gimel, right, the big ostrich egg, Ayin Gimel, with Lama Tes Malachos, so we mentioned Habone, one who builds, so comma Yivne, how much does he have to build in order to be Chayiv? We know that there are Shiurim, Vihei Chayiv, Habone Kolshu, and if he builds any amount, Okay. The hamasates, and somebody who chisels at a stone. The hamake bepatish, and somebody who strikes with the final blow of a hammer. Uvematzad, or with a sledgehammer. As Rashi explains, like a larger, right? Afu kemo kornos gadol shel barzel, binyan shel barzel. Or hakodeach, kolshehu, or hakodeach, or somebody who drills, kolshehu, any amount for any of these things, chayiv, your chayiv. Zeh haklal, kol haosa malacha, anybody who does malacha, umalachto miskayemes. So anybody who does malacha, and his malacha is miskayem, it'll last, b'shabbos. He did this thing on Shabbos, chayiv. So let's take a look at Rashi over here. Just Rashi says, kosa malacha b'shabbos, Rashi says, a'ose malacha kai. There are two ways you could read this phrase, right? It could be that it says, one who does malacha, and his malacha is miskayemes b'shabbos, that his malacha that he did will last all of Shabbos. So only then is it chayiv. So it could be, right, but Rashi is saying, no, it's not going on the malach tomes chayemes, b'shabbos is going on ha'osa b'shabbos. Someone did this on Shabbos, right? If you build something on Tuesday, you're not chayev chatas. That's fine. So that's how Rashi interprets this Mishnah. Other Rishonim disagree, by the way. And that's why you might have heard things about things being miskayemes on Shabbos, right? It's like, maybe tying knots of shoes. And if the knot lasts till the end of Shabbos. So this that's an interpretation of this Mishnah, miskayemes b'shabbos. But Rashi says, no, it's going on the osa. It's that someone who does this on Shabbos and his malachto is miskayemes in general, then he's chayev. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, even somebody who hamaka bekornos, he strikes with a hammer ala sadan on an anvil, b'shas malacha, at the time of the malacha, chayiv mipnei shu kimasakin malacha. He's chayiv because it's as if he's fixing a malacha, completing a malacha. Rashi points out that he's not even striking on the thing that he's trying to make. Ela ala sadan. Rather, it's just on the anvil. But Gemara mafarish my misakin. The Gemara later on, not on our Amud, is going to discuss what the chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel is, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is regarding this malacha. There is something about an anvil. Okay, so the Gemara says, kol shehu l'may chazya. What's a kol shehu? What's that fit for, right? In general, we understand that a malacha is supposed to be something chashiv. So you say any amount that you chisel or you drill a hole, anything is considered bonnet. What's that fitting for? Amar Rav Yirmiyah shekein ani, and we're going to see three answers to this question. Amar Rav Yirmiyah shekein ani chofer guma lehatznia ba pratasav. That you find that an ani will dig a small hole. Remember, digging in a field is choresh, but digging inside a building is considered construction building, right? We also had this on Ayin Gimel, right? When we talk about the dirt of the ostrich egg, right? You bury that, they're putting the dirt, the loser of the one who can't throw it, the few amos, while listening to Lama says malachos. So he digs in his house, and then if you're digging for the dirt, so over here chofer guma latzniyabah prutosav, he digs a little hole in his house to hide away, to store away money. So an ani will do this kind of thing, and dichvasa gabi mishkan, and we have a similar thing in the mishkan shekain tofre yirios chofrin guma latzniyabah machatehen, that the tofre yirios, the sowers of the curtains of the Mishkan, would dig little holes, and presumably, I guess, on the inside of the Mishkan, and they would hide the needles there. So Tosfos just points out a problem over here, is that kol shehu dafka hacha, right? Sorry, the third Tosfos, kol shehu l'may chozi dafka hacha it's terich l'prushe. Over here, dafka, this case we ask, we don't always ask, to clarify the shiurim of malachos, we don't always look to the Mishkan as the paradigm. We learn the malachos from the Mishkan, but we don't necessarily get the shiurim from them. So why over here are we choosing to do that? So dafka hacha itzrich lefirushe dahava dichvasei b'mishkan mishum delo chashiv binyan kol shehu, because it's so not normal to imagine binyan to be so small, such a small thing. Avamotze itran upil peles, but regarding carrying itran, this type of right of spice or smelling thing or peppers, koshu svarahu de mechayev. That's a svara. So a lot of time we'll base things on svara. The rabbanon will tell us what they assume to be is normal for that malacha. But over here, if you're going to give me such an outlandish thing to say that koshu by binyan is chayev, then I need a precedent in the Mishkan, and that's why we're going to see all three answers here. Try to connect it back to the Mishkan specifically. Anyway, so he says that it's digging a hole, a small little hole to store things. Therefore, we see that even the smallest advancement is considered bona. So Abaye Amar, Kevan de Mishtachi lo avdi hachiv. No, but since it gets rusty, that's not true. They would never have put their sewing needles in these holes. Kevan de Mishtachi. Rashi says that it's ma'alan chaluda. It's going to be machatin, that those needles are going to be covered in a rust. So you don't, they wouldn't bury them in dirt or like holes like that. That's not how they stored them. Therefore, there's no precedent in the Mishkan, and that's not so. Lo avdi hachiv. They didn't do that. Ella shekein ani osa pitpute kira katana l'shavoshaleha kadeira katana. Rather, it's like an ani who makes a pitpute kira, kira katana. He makes a, so Rashi says, pitpute is a ragle kira kimin kli barzel. It's the legs of a stove, a little stove made of iron, shekorin tripod, like called a tripod, right? See that word, tripod? Rashi over there. So he's saying it's ma'amid and hakira shalcheres. That you make a little tripod, as Rashi says. You make a very, very small tripod, which is like a kolshu, tiny for his very little pot. And l'shvashala yora katana. And he put his yora katana, skip. L'shvashala kadera katana. He would put a small pot in this. And we have a similar instance in the Mishkan. D'chvasa gabi Mishkan. We also had this in the Mishkan. Mevashli samonin l'tzvo yirios. For the people who would cook the dyes, the herbs for the dyes, litzvoa yirios, that would dye the curtains, shechasera melachton, sometimes they wouldn't have prepared enough. Osin pitpute kira katana lishos aleha yora katana. So basically, what they would do is they would cook all these dyes, and sometimes they realize, oh my gosh, we didn't finish the curtain. We need a little bit more dye. Not much, a little bit more. So they would make little tiny tripods for their tiny little pots, just like a poor person would do when he would actually cook his food, because he has a small pot of very little food. So they would do the same thing, right? So shechaser malachton osin pipute kira katana lishos aleha yora katana. They would put their little tiny cauldrons on it to do the remainders of the samanin, of the herbs for the dyes, and this is the small, meaning they also, I'm sure there was much more bona also going on in the Mishkan. But the smallest form of bona in the Mishkan was basically a kolshu, making these little tripods. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Ein anios b'mokom ashirus. No, there is no poverty in a place of ashirus. The Mishkan is a place of ashirus. Things are not, nothing is done the derech of an ani. Ella shekein balabayis. Therefore you can't tell me that's a form of binyan that was done, part of the Mishkan. Which also answers another question that we have earlier in the Mishnah. I forgot what daf it is, but Rabbi and Rava discuss kosesh, a type of pounding of flour, like a type of grinding of a flour that is not included in the Lamates Malachos. Maybe we'll get back to that point in a little bit, see how it connects to this statement. Anyway, so what does Rav Acha bar Yaakov suggest? Ela shekein balabayis sheyesh lo nekev bibiroso. It's rather like a balabayis who has a neck of a hole in his biroso. A biro is like a big building, like a tower or mansion. Visotmo, and right, but there's a hole in it, so he seals it up. Dichvasa and Gavi Mishkan, similarly regarding the Mishkan, Shekane Keresh, sometimes you would have a beam, Shanafla Bo Darna, that we learned about Darnas before, all right, rams, they're little worms that could be in a ram's head that they shake their heads around, right, we had that on Ayin Tess, Ayin Zion. And I remember the goat, the goat with the shaking his head. So Shanafla Bo Darna, Matif Lesocha Ever. That or avar, he puts into it lead, like hot lead with sotmo, and he fills it up. So basically, And you see the imagery he uses of we don't do a neosi, we don't do poverty. It's a place of a shirus. So the muscle I'm going to give you for a type of malacha that's done is like a bira. A person has a mansion and he has a little hole in his mansion, but he's a chashev guy and it's a chashev house. So he's going to plug it up. Even a small little hole is worth plugging it up. That's a very tiny thing in Binyan, and that was done in the Mishkan too. If there was a little hole made by a worm in the wood of the beam, so they would fill up that little hole, that's considered boneh. So we see boneh and makah b'patish is with a kol shehu. Even a tiny, minuscule amount is considered it, and that's what Rav Acha bar Yaakov says is the basis, right? And that's how we add. Amar Shmuel says, Hamatzadeh is even chayiv. Somebody who places an even, a stone in Rashi says the mitzadeh, like it looks like he pushes it mitzad litzad. He puts it from side to side to try to press it in and find a good placement for a stone. Rashi says moshiva mitzadeh da ad shemis yasheves, until it's like settled bekarkais in the ground. Yisod habinyan yofe mitoch shehu mitzada. Right, so you place a stone in the ground in a good position. So Shmuel says, for that you're chayev. You didn't cement it, you didn't do anything like that. You just put a stone in the ground, stuck it in. Well, that's already you violated the isser of boneh. Meisvei, we have a contradiction from a higher source, from a brisa. I think a brisa. Echad no sein esa even ve'echad no sein esa tit. So if you have someone who places down a stone, and then somebody comes along and places clay, cement, on top of it, the one who placed the clay is chayiv. The one who put the stone is not chayiv. Shmuel said, you place one stone in the ground, you drive it into the ground, you're chayiv. But over here, we see that only the one who places the clay or the cement on top of the stone is chayiv. It's a question. Your challenge, Gemara, Ema Seifa, but let me say the Seifa of that Braisa. Rabbi Yossi says, Afilu hela v'haniach al gabe dimos shelavanim chayiv. Even if he lifted up a stone and placed it on top of a dimos, as Rashi is a row of stones, chayiv. Right, so over here, this is even more makel than Shmuel. Right, Rabbi Yossi says that even if you just put, if you have a row of stones and you put stones on top of that row of stones without cement, you're chayiv. So this is like the other extreme. Shmuel says you stick a stone, put it in the ground, you're chayiv, no cement needed. You stuck it in the ground. So that's pretty, that's a little more, it's more firm. You put it in the ground, and then the Brisa said, no, only the one who brings the cement is chayev. And Rabbi Yossi says in that brisa, responding to the Tanna Kamma, that even if you just put stones on top of a row of stones, no cement, which would sound even less than Shmuel, you're chayev. So clearly, there's something else going on here, and the Gemara responds, Ella tlasa binyani havu. There are three different types of building. There's actually no machlokas. Rabbi Yossi, the Tanna Kamma, the brisa, and Shmuel, none of them disagree with each other. They're just talking about three different types, three different stages in the building. Tata mitzia ve'ila. There's the lower level, the foundation, the middle level, and then all the way at the top. Tata bo'it sdude ve'afra. If you're doing the lowest level, the foundation, so you just need sdude, moving it from side to side, the afra and the dirt around it. So once you've done that, you've stuck it in the dirt well, you're chayiv. That's what Shmuel says. But again, Rabbi Yossi and the Tanna Kamma would probably agree with him. Mitzia, once you're doing all the middle layers, right, which are not firm in the ground, boi nami tina, you also need the tina, you need the cement there. So that's what the Brisa was saying. And presumably Rabbi Yossi and Shmuel would agree with this. Eloi, once you've already built like the whole wall, now you're just talking about the top layer, Bahanocha ba'alma is fine. Just placing it is fine because once it's already basically fully built, so the top layer, it doesn't really make a difference if they're cemented in so well. Now, I mean, for me, I don't know. I wouldn't want the top layer to be set, but I guess, if it's a large enough structure and they're in place, we're not so worried because you're not building layers on top of it. So the top layer doesn't need to be so cemented in. So really these three, it's not a machlokes. It's three different, statements about three different types of building, and they can really all agree with each other. The hamisates. So we said chiseling a stone. Misates mishum mai mechayev. Why is a misates chayev? Well, what malacha is misates? What is chiseling? We didn't have hamisates in our Mishnah 9 Gimel. So what is the malacha? Rav amar mishum bona. Shmuel amar mishum akavapatish. Rav says it's bona, it's building, it's part of a prerequisite of building, or part of the building is chiseling stone. So that's, you're already building a stone. Shmuel says no, it's makavapatish, it's completing an object. Ha'osa nekev balul, and we're gonna have two more, similar machlokas in. Amar, next case. Hosa nekev balul sotarnagolim, somebody who makes a hole in a lul tarnagolim, a hen house, chicken house. So Rashi clarifies, shel eitzu, it's made of wood, v'sasuma menakvo sheyetze reach, shel tsoa v'lo yazik lu. He makes a little hole so that the smell of the excrement will go out and doesn't damage the chickens. You can imagine, right, if there's no hole in the hen house, so the fumes can be very damaging for the chicken, and a very more unpleasant place to be than imagine it already is. So making that hole is a critical part. What malacha is that? So, same machlokas. Rav amar mishum bone. Rav says, no, you're building the hen house. That's part of the completion of the hen house. Shmuel amar mishum makav patish. No, it's like the completion. It's like the final thing. Doing it. Okay. Ayol shufta bekufina demara. So somebody who puts up a shufta bekufina demara. So mara we've had before. Mara is like a hoe. And shufta bikofina, Rashi says shufta is a yased katan, it's a small peg, shetochin besoch base yad shel mara, that you insert into the handle of the mara, of the hoe, bioso nek of a barzel, hadaku shel yatsi shakorin kainil. I don't know what this word kainil is, but basically, when you're ayal the shufta in the kofina of the mara, you're putting the handle and sticking it into like a hole of the hoe to attach the handle to it. So basically you're just completing the handle of a hoe. So what's going on here? So Rav amar mishum bone. Rav says you're building this. Shmuel amar mishum makav patish. Shmuel says no, it's makav patish. Tos was asking a question over here. A lot of Rishonim try to struggle with this. Is that we learned already, right? This Tos was Haiman. Haiman dal shut right. So va'afal gav de kaimelon ein binyan bekalin. Right. We learned a principle. We learned it earlier that there's no that binyan is not doesn't apply to kalim. By kalim is makav patish. Binyan is only a structure. So Tos was deals with that over here and is going to limit that principle. Because of this Gemara, and other Rishonim have other ways of dealing with it. So, but that is a question to keep in mind, but not for now, the Gemara does not deal with that. So Rav says it is Bone, Shmuel says it is Makav Patish. Vitzricha. And we need to teach it in all three of these cases. If I would have taught one of them or two of them, that would not have been enough to know how they would respond in the third case, right? Deish Ashminan Kamaisa. If you would have only told me about the first case of chiseling, that Rav says it's bone and Shmuel says it's makav patish. Bahikama Rav Mishum de Derech Binyan Bekach. So I would say, why does Rav say this is bone? Because it's a normal thing to chisel. That's a normal thing of construction to chisel a brick. Aval Osa Nekav Balul Sultanagolim de Ein Derech Binyan Bekach Imamo de Leilir Shmuel. But I would have said, but it's not a normal, you know, it's not like a normal thing of building, right? You don't, normally when you build a house, you don't say, let me poke a hole through so the smell can go out of it. That's not a normal act of construction. So maybe I would say that, you know, if I only had the first case, the case where they disagree about chiseling a rock, and you would ask me, what does Rav say regarding poking a hole in a hen house? So I would say, oh, you know, he probably agrees with Shmuel over here that it's makav patish. It's not binyan. So, kamash malan, no. Rav even holds that's bone. The iash me'inan baha, and if I would have learned that case, ka'amar rav mishum de dami labinyan, de avde lavira. So maybe if I would have learned that case, maybe I would have said, oh, you know why Rav says that? Rav holds that the hen house hole is binyan, because that's actually a normal thing of binyan, because you don't just make it for, you know, letting the smell out, but also to bring fresh air in. And that's actually a normal thing, right? When you build a house, you would want to make a window for fresh air to come in. So maybe it's not such a strange thing of binyan, and maybe that's why Rav says it in that case, but in the hen house. But perhaps in other cases, it's not the normal way of binyan, maybe not. Aval shufta de bekufina de mara de ein derech binyan bekach, Ema modi le lishmuel. But I would say by the hoe, that's for sure not the normal way of building something, right? Where you stick a handle into a, in, that's not considered a binyan in b'chlal, but you know b'chlal. So maybe I would say in that case he would agree with Shmuel that it's makom patish, and then you can kind of support it with Tosfos's question that like this is a kli, it's not a normal it's not a normal type of binyan, and therefore it's important. Therefore, Kamashman, we needed to learn these three cases. The Inash Mein and Baha Kamar Shmuel. So, but and if I would have had this case, so Baha Kamar Shmuel, Avahanach Tarti Ema Modile LeRav. But if I would have had these cases, Baha Kamar Shmuel, Rashi says Datru Beis Mishum Bona LeMechayev DeLav Binyanhu. I would say that. You know that maybe Shmuel only holds what he holds because these things are not binyan. But maybe in the case of mesates of chiseling that or even maybe the henhouse, for maybe Shmuel would agree over there because that actually looks more like a binyan. So maybe Shmuel would agree there. So really we had to teach. So ema as but reishman baha kamar Shmuel av bahanach tarti. But in those two ema modi le'rav, maybe. He would agree in the case of Masates, and even in the Lul, the hen house, maybe he would agree to Rav Tzricha. So it turns out that we actually do need it. And over here it goes into a few lines in the next Amud, but we've already gone long, so we'll call it here.